Morning, church. It's great to be here this morning. The past couple weeks, if you haven't been with us, we've been in a series called Margin, and it'd be a great use of your time to check out our podcast or our website to catch up on that series. And we've been going through this reading plan, a 20-day reading challenge. And if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, or let's be honest, if maybe you've forgotten about it or maybe halfway through it, or maybe you're only 3 days in, there's something rewarding whenever you start something and then finish it. And so ideally, yeah, I think we finished the reading plan at the end of October. But if you haven't finished yet, let me encourage you to keep pushing through it and finish it. And to be completely honest, I haven't finished mine. I'm a few days behind. And so, but there's just something about finishing something that's so incredibly rewarding. So if you haven't finished that reading plan, there's more out in the foyer area. You can check one out and just kind of just dig into the Word of God. It's just a study through the book of Romans. And so if you have done it and you've been taking us up on that challenge, I hope that God's revealed himself in a very new way to you through that series. So I would encourage you to check that out. Today, I'm kind of kickstarting or just teeing the ball up for the next few weeks. So we're going to dive into this study on uncommon sense or wisdom, maybe through the book of Proverbs. And so I'm excited to kind of kickstart this series with you. You don't really need me to tell you this, but we live in a world full of fools, right? We live in a world full of fools. We are foolish. We make decisions. People around us make decisions that just cause us to shake our head, right? We're just like, what were you thinking? We make so many choices and decisions in the day, and studies show that we make, on average, about 35,000 decisions in a day. Now, just to paint this in for the sake of illustration, if you could imagine just standing in the outfield of Kauffman Stadium, there's over 37,000 seats in Kauffman Stadium, but if you could just imagine 35,000 seats, the one seat would be one choice, obviously. And so that is the number of choices and decisions that we make every day. We make a ton of decisions. And because our church body is so full of teachers make 1,500 educational decisions in a day. That's not even on top. That's on top of our already 35,000 decisions. So many teachers make 1,500 educational decisions every day. What's best for my students? And that's not even, you know, disciplinary decisions, relational decisions. Our makeup is that we make so many choices. And if we make 35,000 choices every day, I think we could all agree that, I would love that I could make better decisions. Because I think we'd all agree if we made better decisions, we'd have fewer regrets, right? I would love it if I were to make better decisions, or to spend my choices, my 35,000, if I were to spend that wisely, I would love to be a better steward of the choices that I make every single day, and I think you would too. But we've all had our moments, right? We've all had our moments where we didn't spend those choices wisely. There was a day at Hy-Vee where I made a very poor decision. It was a Thursday. So, one day at Hy-Vee, it was slow. Normally, my boss was always kind of like, hey, you know, if you ever have a downtime, don't be afraid to try some of the product just so you have a better understanding for the customer. Well, in the back room one day, I saw the product sitting there, and it was a habanero. And I was bored, and I was a teenager. And so, what the heck? You know, I tried it. So I picked up the habanero and I cut it in half and I took my thumb and I just scooped the seeds out of it because that's where all the heat is apparently, and cut a little sliver of this habanero and I put it in my mouth, and all of a sudden it felt like I bit the toe of Satan. My mouth is on fire. And I'm just like, my mouth is just like numb with pain, and so I just spit it out and I'm like, okay, well, that was not good. So they said, produce, would you come help with carts, please? So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go help with carts. And so I leave the pepper there and try to get that behind me. And so I step outside, and it's during the summer, during the summer I have allergies, and so I do one of these things. And all of a sudden, my nose starts to feel a little tingling, like something's wrong. Something is really wrong. And so I'm like, whenever you have a really strong mint and it hurts to breathe in, that was my face whenever I walked. And so I'm just like, my face is just numb and it's tingling, and I don't know what to do. And so then all of a sudden it just like dawns on me, like, the habanero. So I like, okay. So I just left, and I went to the bathroom, and I start like, splashing water on my face, which it's not good. Water spreads oil, and so it was like, oh, my face is just getting numb, and it hurts so bad, and I'm in the bathroom like snorting water, just trying to make this stuff just to relieve the pain, and oh, it was horrible. And so that was like the beginning of my shift too. I had 7 more hours of this. Like, just this numbness, and my whole face is red, and it was bad, guys. It was bad. And so I get home. Mom and Dad are like, hey, how was your day? Like, well, do you have a minute? You want to sit down? You have a little chat? And so I tell them all about the day, and they thought it was hilarious. Like, yeah, that's great. All right, I'm going to bed. So, and I wear contacts, okay? So I had washed. Okay, at this point, I had washed my hands at least 15 times. All right, well, I take out my contacts, and surprisingly, I didn't feel anything. It was fine. But I had to work at 6 a.m. the next morning, and so I get up, and I throw my contacts in, and all of a sudden, it was just like the seal of the pain just like almost sucked into my eye, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I just like had to like take my pinkies and just get it out real quick, and had to wake up my parents, like, can you guys put in my contacts for me? I can't touch my eye right now. And so it was weird, all right? So it was like, but that one decision of boredom, like that one decision to just try this habanero affected the rest of my day and the future choices that I made. And it was, I haven't had a habanero since. I don't know if you've had a habanero, but it's, just don't. My advice to you, just don't, or wear gloves or something. But, that one small choice that I made, just to try this habanero, affected the other decisions that I made throughout my day. Some of us have stories like that. Some of us, I know that's kind of a lighthearted story of a poor decision that I made, but some of us have endings that can be kind of funny to share. Some of them have stories that have deep hurts from poor choices that you made. Some of us have endings of stories that end in destruction, tears, hurt. And that's the reality of our world, that we are a result of the choices that we made. Craig Rochelle says this. He says, it's the small choices no one sees that result in big impact everyone wants. It's the small choices that no one sees. It's the everyday decisions, the moment-by-moment decisions, that 35,000. It's those small choices that we make that result in the big impact that everyone wants. It's the small, everyday decisions that we make today that help us tell about our stories tomorrow. Every day, every choice that we make, every moment is being woven into the fabric of who we are and the stories that we tell. Our choices matter. And here's what I know about you. If we were to have just a one-on-one conversation, just to sit across the table, most of us would acknowledge and admit that I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I need help. What many of us need wisdom in the very seasons that we're in right now. What do we do? Should we move? I'm considering a job change. Maybe a big financial decision, maybe relationally. What do I need wisdom in? Because I think if we're all honest, we want to spend our $35,000 wisely. And if we had wisdom, it would have saved us from a lot of hurts in the past. If I would have had wisdom a year ago, if I would have had wisdom 10 years ago, I would have done things so much differently. Wisdom would have saved us from harmful habits that we can't break. Wisdom would have saved us from financial strife. Wisdom would have saved us from regret. God, give us wisdom. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. We live in a fool's world. So how do you walk wisely in a fool's world? For us to be wise, though, it's going to require something of us. To get down to the root issue of wisdom that we're going to start in the next couple weeks leading up. So I hope that you can make it for just this leading up to wisdom. But for us to be wise, it's going to require something of us. And so in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. If you don't have a Bible, there may be a Bible in the seats in front of you. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10, just one verse, it says this: the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. The what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that is the very beginning. That's where wisdom starts for us. Here on earth. This is where wisdom begins, is the horizontal. That this wisdom here on earth starts with the fear of the Lord. We must, church, we must have a healthy view of fear of the Lord. Like I said, if you we live in a world that does not seek wisdom. We do not seek wisdom. And this is the part, whenever we see this, the fear of the Lord, this is where a lot of people, a lot of pastors, even myself, have taught this, that we kind of bail you all out and say, well, whenever we see fear of the Lord, that doesn't really mean fear. You know, that means deep reverence and awe. But in reality, I'm looking at this passage and seeing that it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. And so there's passages in Scripture. We see examples of this in Isaiah. When Isaiah sees the Lord in chapter 6, he says, his first reaction is, woe is me. He says, I'm ruined. He sees God, and he's like, I'm ruined. He sees God, and he has this fear that I'm doomed because I just saw God. John, the beloved disciple in Revelation, he falls over, like he sees the Lord, and he falls over like a dead man. Like whenever we see God, we will fear him. We will fear him. And so it would be foolish for us if we were to think that, oh, well, if Isaiah had this reaction when he saw the Lord, or whenever John had this reaction when he saw the Lord, it would be foolish for us to think, I'm not going to have the same reaction. It would be foolish for us to think, if I were to see the God, I just need to muster up some reverence and awe. You know, like, there is a part where we do need to fear God. It is beyond reverence and awe. It is a fear because God is so incredibly holy. Holy, holy, holy. And we are so incredibly sinful and foolish that whenever we see God, our reaction must be that I'm ruined. Like, God is so holy. He's so perfect. He's so righteous. And we are the opposite. We are sinful. We're wretched. We're doomed. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here's what our world tells us. Our world tells us this lie, that part of life is making mistakes and learn as you go, right? Part of your high school career, students, is just make mistakes and learn as you go. That's what our world says. But here's a truth that the world doesn't give us, is that you can get it right the first time. Do you know that? You don't have to make mistakes to learn. Yes, I've made mistakes and I've learned from them. But there's also a part where we can get it right the first time. You can get it right the first time. You do not have to make mistakes to learn. And that's wisdom. That's where wisdom comes in. That you don't have to make mistakes to learn. There are two ways to learn in this world. One way is that you can learn the hard way. And the other way that you can learn is learn from someone else that learned the hard way. Right? We can learn the hard way. We've done that. I learned that with the habanero. I learned the hard way. I live to tell the story. But you can also learn from someone else that learned the hard way. That can save us from regret. It can save us from poor decisions, from those poor choices that we make. You can get it right the first time. So for us to gain wisdom, we're going to have to start at a place where we don't really naturally want to go, and it's this place called fear of the Lord. And this thought's kind of old school. It's like, Adam, well, we don't really do that anymore. That fearing the Lord, that a fire and brimstone kind of direction, you don't need to take that direction anymore, Adam. That's kind of old school. But if we skip this crucial step of actually having a genuine place where we fear the Lord, it's going to be the very beginning steps to us taking wisdom into account. So how do we get there? How do we get to the place of genuine fear of the Lord? Like I said, we see examples in Scripture with Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, John, where they actually fear God. And we read these stories in Scripture, but we excuse ourselves from actually having that same fear. Like I said, no matter who you are, the moment you see God, you will fear Him. Isaiah 44, verse 6 says this. God says, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. And God says this. He says, who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what's happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. So God's saying, who is like me? God's saying, who is like me? Because if there is anyone like me, let them come forward. There's no one like me. This view of God is not very popular because we want a manageable God that we can pick and choose and narrow on the aspects that we want to focus on. It's almost like we view God as this Mr. Potato Head that we can make our God look the way that we want to, and that's not it. You've missed the picture. Is that we need to go to this place that there's no one like our God. That no one is like Him. That we need to fear Him and fear God. But then verse 8 says something that's really neat, and it says, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't tremble. Because God says, there's no one like me. There's no other like me. There is no other rock. There's no other rock. I know not one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how do we get there? How do we get to the place of genuine fear? The life that truly manifests itself is a life of obedience to God. The life that truly fears God is a life that manifests itself in the obedience to God. When you are at the point where you fear God vertically, when you're at that point where you fear God vertically, you will notice that you're no longer paralyzed or debilitated by earthly, your horizontal fears that plague you now. When you get to the point of genuine fear of God, that vertical fear of God, when you get to that point, you will no longer, like the fear on earth, will be diminished. The earthly fears that weigh us down now, the situations that you need help in, that is causing you to be paralyzed by fear, those will slowly fade when you have a genuine vertical fear of the holiness and righteousness and awesomeness of our God. So where do you need wisdom? Where do you need wisdom? Don't dwell on the horizontal earthly fears. Meditate, rather, on the vertical fear. How holy, powerful, majestic, awesome, loving our God is. His holiness and power alone should and would bring us to our faces in worship. When you genuinely fear God, your fears on earth will slowly fade. And let me just say, I'm not saying deny your problems. I'm not saying don't act like they're not there. But don't let them be the subject of that dominating force in your mind, because they will loom larger and they will grow more and more, and you'll be more fearful of this earth. So I'm not saying deny your problems, but don't let it be the subject of your mind. This week, I want to encourage you to meditate on these certain truths, and I have them on the back of your note sheet. And I want to go through them one by one here. And if you, it's kind of hard to keep track of your note sheet, but one easy way that you can do this is just take a picture of it on your phone. Take a picture of these verses on your phone, or just look them up in your Bible, underline them, circle them. Psalm 23:4 says this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." I love that. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Psalm 27:1 says this: "That the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Isaiah 41:10 says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Man, whenever, if we focus on these passages, you could just feel the horizontal fears that weigh me down. You could just feel them slowly fade from the subject in your mind. "Fear not. I am your God." Psalm 34:4 says this: "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he" what? "He delivered me from all my fears." He delivered me from all my fears. Proverbs 28:14. "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always." Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. And lastly, I love this proverb in regards to what we're talking about. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord also leads to life. There's life to be found in wisdom, and I don't know about you, but there's many choices that I've made that's led to death, that's led to sin. My foolishness has led to death. And wisdom, if we can seek God and just seek not the fear to please everyone here on earth, but the vertical fear that I have with God, that life of fear of God is going to lead me to a life of wisdom. I'm going to make choices that I normally wouldn't make, but I'm going to make choices that are going to honor and glorify God. Because those small everyday choices that we make add into the very fabric of who we are and the stories we can tell tomorrow. Fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this will lead to a life that you never had. And this life is secure. And it's what we were created for. Would you stand with me? Just want to give us a moment to sing praise and worship. I don't know where you're at, but if you need wisdom, we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. We would love to pray over your situation. And if you need wisdom, don't hesitate. Respond. We'd love to continue the conversation. If you just need someone to pray with, we'd love to pray with you and just to talk with you. And so, you're dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll see you next week.